Hello, and welcome to another episode of We Used to Be Best Friends. I am your host, Sabrina, and I am excited to announce that I am engaged. Oh, yeah. So on today's episode, I will be telling you guys my engagement story, as well as talking a little bit deep thoughts on friendships when it comes to marriage and bachelorette parties, because I know I hear a lot of horror stories when it comes to weddings and losing a lot of friends with that. So I think this would be a great subject to kind of talk about and go through. That being said, I'm going to cue the music and I will see you on the other side. Okay, first off, your girl has a huge ring on her finger. He did good. He did good. He did very, very good. And I am so, so, so excited. Nick and I have been together for about 5 years. And if you have listened to my friendship breakup story, then you can kind of understand how our relationship started within those first year, year and a half, how I was dealing with a horrible best friend that was just honestly trying to ruin the relationship I had with Nick. Going through that with him was one of the most eye-opening things ever because he was my rock. He really helped me through that whole situation. He didn't know too much about what was going on while I was in it because honestly, I didn't know what was going on while I was in it. I was very, very confused. I didn't know that what I was experiencing and how she was treating me was part of emotional abuse and part of gaslighting and the whole toxic manipulation. I just remember when I first started dating Nick, how excited I was that he was honestly the first guy that I've met that would have actions match his words. If he said he was going to text me, he texted me. If he said he was going to make plans, he made plans. Anytime that he did make any dates or plans, he would always consider things that I liked. He always asked me questions, always got to know me a little bit better. And honestly, he knows me so well. I mean, he is honestly my best friend. He honestly is. And I just knew when I first met him that he was the person. It was just this feeling. I didn't understand this feeling, but it wasn't the butterflies, the anxious butterflies that you usually get. No, when I was around him, I felt calm. I felt at peace. And at that time, that was something that I didn't know at all. I knew high anxiety. I knew constantly looking over my shoulder. That was my reality back then. So when I happened to be around him, he seemed to calm me down. He seemed to make me feel like everything's okay and the world is at peace. And that was a very, very freeing feeling to be around someone that just allows you to be fully yourself without shaming you for being silly or anything. I just felt like I could truly be myself around him. And this may sound silly, but I feel like he came into a time in my life where he was my protector, probably a huge protector against my ex-best friend. And I'm sure that she recognized it in some way, maybe spiritually or emotionally, because she viewed him as a threat from the beginning and had this desire to just want us to break up really, really badly. And it sucks that she's part of that story. It really does, because she the first moments of meeting someone that you love, you want your best friend to be there and support you, and you want your best friend to know everything that's going on and all the first dates and everything. And I just feel like it just was tainted a little bit by her and her behavior and her actions and how she roped other people in and her accusations that were absolutely unreal and such false lies. It was just hell. It was just hell. And I don't know how else to explain it. And I've worked so hard on this relationship with Nick and the relationship I have with myself and the relationship I have with friends and making new friends so that I wouldn't have this kind of tainted memory around everything that's been going on. I just remember that after that friendship breakup happened, I didn't want to become that type of person that was just covered in negativity, was just that person that would say, oh, well, friends don't exist. People are terrible. Like, oh, best friends, no, like there's no good friends out there. Nobody's genuine. Like, I didn't want to have that mentality. And even though she tried to, she honestly destroyed me. That girl destroyed my confidence, my view with myself. She just put me in a place that I would never wish on my worst enemy. And I think people don't really understand how gaslighting really chips away at you to the point where even if that person, that toxic person is gone, you have become conditioned to start to doubt yourself and to start to gaslight your own reality too. And it's insane that even after she left, I was still in complete shambles. I was still terrified. I was still afraid of making friends. I was still like, you know, constantly watching out for people, constantly saying like, oh, this next person's going to betray me or this next person's going to hurt me. And I just realized that that mentality was going to keep me stuck in this cycle. And I did not want that experience to just be a forever thing for me, for something to just like, I have to go over and over and over again. So somehow in my healing journey, I decided, hey, you know what? I need to change my mindset. If not, I'm going to be stuck in this. I need to start seeing the world a little bit brighter, a little bit better. I need to finally, you know, make new friends, but be strong enough to know who's the right people for me and to essentially pick and choose. I realized that a lot of us pick and choose our partners. We really, you know, we go on dates and we really analyze them and we try to see where are the red flags? What is wrong with this person? Like, are they compatible with us? Like, is this my person? Is this like my forever person? And I did that with Nick because I experienced a lot of toxic, manipulative guys before I met Nick. And I just remember after a very toxic ex-fiance, this was before Nick, I just remember when that was done, thank goodness, I told myself never again. I'm never, ever again falling for the love bombing. I'm never, ever again falling for the manipulation tactics. I'm not falling for the guy that like insults me, but like puts a smile on his face and like says it's a joke. Like I was like, that's not funny. I'm not doing that. And I kind of told myself I would rather be alone and single than, you know, go back into that type of relationship. So when I met Nick, I was very, very, like, I knew that he was my person, but at the same time, I also vetted him a lot. I also wanted to see, like, okay, is he love bombing me? Which, no, he wasn't. And I wanted to see, like, does his words match his actions? Yes, it did. He did. Everything that he has done over the past 5 years has always put me in a place where he has prioritized me and made sure that I'm happy and made sure that I'm well taken care of and made sure that the dates that we do are, you know, just beautiful. Like, it could be a simple date that he's done that we've done for Valentine's Day before or even our anniversary where he sends me off to, let's say, the Ritz-Carlton. And he's like, go get a drink there and I will text you when I'm ready. And I'm like, okay. So I dress up and I go to the Ritz. I'm sitting at the bar and he gives me his credit card. And he's just like, okay, get yourself a drink. So I'm sitting there with an espresso martini. I feel like bougie as hell. And he texts me when he's ready. So when he's ready, I go back to the apartment and he set up the table with tablecloth, like red, beautiful tablecloths and gold plates, gold and white plates that are gorgeous, and this silverware that's also like gold with the napkin, which is a cloth napkin that's like red with flowers, and the whole like setup for the glassware, which is like a wine glass for white, a wine glass for red, and then a champagne wine glass, like all three of them right next to each other. There's candles lit, and even though this is like, we don't have to spend money going out on restaurants or dates. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing or not, but it's just like these little simple things that even if we don't go out and spend and go to a restaurant and indulge, he can still make a beautiful moment, like simple and extravagant, while we're sitting in our own home. So candles are lit everywhere. It smells divine. He's there in his apron cooking steak with rosemary, and he made the mashed potatoes and vegetables, and he's like, all right, sit there. What glass of wine do you want? Do you want to start with white? Do you want to start with red? Would you like champagne first? And then usually I start with white, and he has like these little appetizers, which are, calls them little crostinis. And it's like toasted baguettes with ricotta cheese on top and honey and like a little bit piece of mint. And the first time he's ever made that for me, I knew that he was the one, because my mom used to make like these little like bowls of ricotta cheese, honey, and also mint. It's like, I guess like an Arabic thing, maybe not. I don't know if it's just like my mom did that for me. And a little bit of cinnamon. And that would be like a little like morning breakfast thing. And as soon as he made those little crostinis, I was like, oh my God, he literally just like hit me in the heart. I was like, thank you, Cupid. But yeah, he made these little appetizer crostinis and they were delicious. And I'd have my glass of wine and he'd come sit next to me. And our conversations are always good. And then later we'd have dinner, steak, potatoes, vegetables, and he'd pour me a glass of red wine because he's like, you can't have white wine with your red meat or something like that. He's very particular. I didn't know that that was a thing back then, but now I'm getting educated on wine, so I guess. And then later on, after we're done with our meal, we would have a little bit of a dessert, and that would come with the champagne. And it's just, he just makes moments so spectacular. And it's just like this little thing that it doesn't cost much. And we're in our house, in our home, in our little apartment, and he just makes it so beautiful and special. And I'm so sorry if I'm like totally gushing, but I'm gonna use this episode to totally gush. Love him to death. He just makes things very, very special. And I slowly started to notice that when I first started dating him, how he really puts thought into our dates and he makes them special. And it's like customized. It really is. It's really customized to what I liked and what I like to do, what he enjoyed and what he liked to do, and to see if we both enjoy doing the same things. And we do. We do. We're very, very alike. Like his taste, I don't have to worry about home decor or anything like that. I think his taste is just the exact same as mine. So I'm just like, thank you. Goodness. I feel like I've known him in a past life. This is just my own theory. I feel like I've known him in a past life, but I feel like in a past life, we never dated. We were just like really good friends. And he was like that one person that I trusted. And I feel like in this life, he's my protector and we're dating and we're together. And yeah, I think it works out. But honestly, I think that ex-best friend of mine kind of noticed that. And to be completely honest, she was probably jealous. Honestly, I'd be jealous too if I got a guy like that. So do I blame her? A little bit, but not really. But yeah, she was not the greatest friend. And it kind of sucks that she's like this dark cloud over the start of our relationship. Maybe that just made things stronger. Maybe that made me finally get into this place where not only was I paying attention to who I was dating and like really, really vetting people who I was dating and really having that self-confidence and finally getting to this place where I love myself so much that I was like, no, I deserve the best. Not only in the romantic side, but I feel like it was also like a kick in the butt to be like, hey, it's not just in the romantic side that you have to vet the guy that you're going to be with, but it's also your friends. Like they're also like very, very close to you. And if you're dating a guy that you absolutely love and you can't even go to your friend and tell her what's going on, you can't even tell them things in confidence without them like giving their unsolicited advice or projecting their insecurities onto you or making you feel horrible about who you're dating or trying to like sabotage your relationship. Like if you don't even feel safe with your best friend, like what is this? And I feel like both are really important. The romantic relationship, being with your guy, but also having a really close best friend or close friend that you rely on, that you can like talk to, that can kind of set you straight. But you have to have that friend that is actually honestly looking out for you and not somebody that is secretly jealous of you and trying to ruin things for you. Like that is disaster. And that's, I feel like, what I was experiencing as someone was, this girl was really just horrific. And she tried really hard to, you know, play this competition game. And it's just ridiculous because I never saw her and I as competition. I was just like, yo, you do you. If you're happy, you're happy. I do me. If I'm happy, I'm happy. We're supposed to be happy for each other. Like, I didn't understand the whole, like, tit for tat. Oh, if you have a better life, then I'm worse off. Like, no. If you have a good life, I'm happy for you. But I also know that I deserve a good life, too. And that's going to come eventually, like, as long as I keep working hard and doing the right thing. So I never understood this competitive mentality. I was just like, I don't know. It's weird to me. It's honestly weird to me. And I'm just like, why are you wasting your time trying to compete with someone else that has a completely different destiny than you? Like, focus on yourself and what is best for you and leave everybody else alone. Like, the whole jealousy, envy, competition mentality, it's so foreign to me. Like, I can't wrap my head around it. Like, I understand what it looks like when I see it, when I see girls do that to other girls. But again, I don't understand it because I'm like, I would never do that. So I'm just like, I don't get it. Please explain. Yeah, so I feel like it was finally that moment in my life where I was just, you know, it's time to really put me first and really start to gain my self-worth again, because I deserve not only a romantic partner that is there for me and that loves me to death, but I also deserve like good friends that I can just go to and tell them all the great things and they would be genuinely happy for me and genuinely celebrate me. Like, I deserve that. And I didn't want to continue to be in a place where, you know, I was showcased by somebody that they made me feel terrible about. Like, there's this one time she said to me, it says a lot about you dating a man like that. And it really, really hurt that she said that to me. And now that I think about it, I'm like, what do you mean it says a lot about me dating a man like that? A man that takes care of me, a man that respects me, a man that goes above and beyond to make me happy, like a man that is true to his word, a man that would do all these little things to just make sure I have a smile on my face. What do you mean I don't deserve that? And I think that when I realized that hurt because it was like, wow, I have a friend that thinks I don't deserve that or wishes that I don't deserve that. And I was just like, wow, it's just a shitty feeling, to be completely honest. But now that I'm engaged, I'm actually very, very glad and relieved, because now that I think about it, back then I used to talk to her about us being maids of honor for each other's weddings and wanting her to be my maid of honor. And now when I think about it, I'm like, thank God all of that like fell through. Thank God she's not in my life. I mean, I don't know if that sounds harsh or not, but I mean, the way she treated me was terrible. So I'm just like, I'm actually very glad that I don't have that in my life, because if she was trying to ruin my relationship with Nick, you know, from the start of it, like how would it have been if I ended up, you know, going through this whole marriage process? Because that's when people's true colors really, really come out to play. Like, how would she have tried to sabotage it then? Like, how would she have tried to sabotage my bachelorette or my bridal shower or my wedding in general? Like, thank God. I feel like, you know, God removes people from your life for a reason. And I'm glad that I didn't have to deal with all of that for my wedding. Now, instead, I'm honestly blessed, and I thank God every single day that I have amazing friends. I honestly worked really, really hard to get to this place in my life where I know what I deserve, and I know I am a good person, and I know I am a good friend, and I know I deserve good things to happen in my life. And I feel like I finally got to this place that I started to choose the right people, and the right people came towards me. And I didn't, and the moment I started to notice like certain friends that weren't right, removing them was, it was difficult, but it was something that I was like, I need to do this because I don't want to go through another horrible ex-best friend experience. Like, I don't want to go through that again. So I need to be very diligent and very stringent and very discerning of who I keep in my life. It's not about who you attract. You can attract anyone. It's who you choose to keep in your life. Now, I'm extremely blessed that I am doing this whole, like starting this whole engagement process and wedding process. And I know I have like good girls surrounding me. Honestly, I'm really excited about that. I'm excited that I get to celebrate with people. Also, yeah, I'm just giddy. Also, I will keep you posted on the whole like wedding experience. I mean, I probably do a little bit of videos on TikTok, but honestly, you'll see most of the details on my Instagram. So go ahead and follow my Instagram. It's Sabrina_Harubi, or it's @thethirdside_. Either one, you'll find my private one, my personal one. It's not really private, it's still public. My personal one, and then you'll find my mental health one. But you know, yeah, I'll be posting a lot of stuff there. I'm currently right now on my bride boot camp fitness journey. So I'm going ham. Honestly, I'm that type of person that if I set my mind to it, I'm gonna like complete it. And it's not about actions that speak louder than words. Consistency speaks louder. So I have to like stay consistent with it. But so far, I'm on my fitness journey because I want to look snatched in that wedding dress. Like, I want to look so good. And I will. I'm so excited though. Okay, so let me tell you the story of how Nick and I got engaged. So when he first got the ring, I had a feeling. I mean, you can't really hide too much from me. I'm a Virgo. I will find out. But at the same time, Nick is that type of person that always keeps me on my toes. And like, he doesn't hide things from me, but he's good at not letting me guess too quickly. He can surprise me, which is very refreshing and very, very hard to do. Because if you know a Virgo, you can't really surprise a Virgo because she can tell. She can tell immediately just from, you know, your tone of voice or how you change your behaviors a little bit or something's off. They just have that intuition. They know. But anyway, let me start from the beginning. There was this particular day where Nick and his mom had to go for an errand. And his mom was just like really trying to get me to sit outside in the garden and to like watch the cats because the cats were in the garden, so they wouldn't have to like jump, they don't jump over the fence or anything. So she was just like, just stay out there, like very like really determined, stay out there. So I was like, okay, like fine, I'm not gonna go with you on your errand, like I'm not gonna invite myself. I get it. I'll stay out there and I'll watch the cats. So I was just like, why are you pushy on this? But okay, whatever. I was outside with the cats in the garden for a little bit, and then one of the cats like tried to climb the fence and like jump over, and I was like, absolutely not, everyone's going inside now. So I like brought the cats back inside to the house, and I just remember how weird it was that him and his mom were just like gone for a good while, like maybe a little bit over 2 hours, and I'm just like, that's strange. Usually their errands are pretty quick. So I'm just like, okay, interesting. So I was in the living room and they came in and his mom saw me and she was shocked. And then Nick came in after and he was shocked. And I just see him like kind of like hide something behind his back. And I was just like, what is happening here? So I think that was kind of my inkling. Like I was like, I wonder if he got a ring. I wonder. But I was just like, their behavior was very sus. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to remember this. But anyway, that was like that moment that I was like, maybe it's happening. It's probably happening soon. So that's my suspicions. I'm not 100% sure, but that was my suspicion. And then from there, I was trying to guess. I was like, I need to have my nails done already. And I need to like just guess every other excursion, I was just like, nails ready, everything was good. I was always wrong. So this time around, so I was thinking like, oh, maybe Valentine's Day. But then I was like, no, I know Nick. He's not going to make our anniversary on a holiday type of thing. Like, he's like, I don't think he likes that type of stuff. And I personally don't like that stuff either. I would rather have a holiday on its own and then our anniversary be like a separate day that really isn't like a holiday. This particular time, we're planning to go to a ski trip in Vermont. And we've been planning this for a little bit of time, for our final 3 days of skiing. And I love skiing. I'm obsessed with skiing. I started like 3 years ago. Well, my first year wasn't really skiing. It was more like me and the snow were best friends because my butt and my thighs were always meeting it because I didn't do any skiing. I just did some falling and sliding down all the time. And then me and the ski patrol were like, cool, because, you know, they had to help me down. And I just remember that skiing humbled me so much. It just humbled me. It turned me into this like 5-year-old girl all over again, where I was having a temper tantrum. I was crying. I was having these moments where I was like, I hate you. Why did you bring me on this trip? Like, just like crying and just being, it was my 5-year-old temper tantrum self that came out on the slopes. And I'm surprised that Nick had so much patience for me, because I legit had temper tantrums. Honestly, I'm not kidding. Like, I was a brat. I was a brat on the slopes. Sometimes I still am. But it's because I'm terrified. Like, any small little thing and there I go. I'm broken. But the first few ski trips were not fun. I was also terrified of heights. So even just going on top of the ski lift, like going up the mountain, I'm like praying to whatever God would listen to me. I'm like, just please, dear God, don't let me die. That was so bad. So bad, because I'm terrified of heights. And then don't even get me started on, like, you know, when you get off the ski lift and you have to like balance yourself while you're sitting up and trying to like ski down the ski lift without like falling. that humbled me. That sport humbled me so bad. And I just remember, you know, I don't like not being able to accomplish something and not be able to do something. I'm not very good at giving up. Like, I will do it. I will cry and have a temper tantrum doing it, but I will complete it. And I don't know if that's like just my character, if it's my Virgo trait, I don't know what it is, but I just knew that I'm going to come back and I'm going to ski again, and I'm going to accomplish this. Like, this is not going to be my downfall. So anyway, this Vermont trip is my third year skiing, and I'm pretty good now, conquering black diamonds pretty well. Still need some work. I'm still scared. But you know, I'm doing a lot better. So we were planning this Vermont trip, and then, my goodness, it was like on Thursday morning or something like that, where we wake up and the entire building is blackout. There's no electricity. There is nothing. And it is like 20 degrees outside. Our heating is off. Like, we can't make hot water. There's no hot water. There's no electricity. Our stove is on electricity. There's no light. There's nothing. And the entire building is blackout. So, you know, I was like, couldn't take a shower because it's cold. We don't have hot water. So I tell Nick, I'm like, okay, I'm going to head to the Equinox down the street and, you know, just work out and then take a shower there. So as I head to the Equinox, I go in and everything's pitch black. And they're like, I'm sorry, guys, the gym is closed. Blackout. And I'm like, you guys got a blackout too? And they're like, yep, it's basically the next four or five blocks where there's like blackout in the whole neighborhood. So like, even if I wanted to go get a coffee around the corner, my coffee shop couldn't, blackout. Like, the Solidcore around the corner, blackout. Like, everything is blackout around the corners. So I was just like, I come back and I tell Nick, I'm like, hey, the gym is closed. Like, can't even take a shower. Like, what is going on? Like, what do we do? And he, thank God, is always prepared, always prepared. And he had this box. I have no idea what, like a power box, not a generator, but like a power box where you can plug in your phones or light or anything like that. And it runs on battery. So he's like, well, we have this for a little bit of time. Don't use it too much right now. Hopefully it will come back, like the lights and electricity will come back by today. So I was like, okay, fine. It didn't come back. It did not come back. So we were sleeping that night with all the blankets I could find in the apartment, like probably like 4 blankets on top of us. It is 20 degrees outside, maybe less. And me and him are like huddled because it's cold. The apartment's so freezing cold. And we're huddled together and we're like, hopefully by the time we wake up, like things are back, like electricity's back. No, by the time we woke up, electricity was not bad. And I was telling Nick, I was like, I don't know how long this is happening, but we ended up talking to the neighbor. And she's like one of those neighbors that kind of is nosy and knows everything. And sometimes that's good. So she kind of told us that there was some sort of explosion that happened underground and that they're trying to fix it, but they're actually saying it might take a week. And I was like, week? We can't stay here without any like water or food or anything. Our fridge is, you know, dead. I had to throw out all of that food. Oh my God. And I'm like, I hate throwing out food. So all of that was happening. I was like, Nick, I don't know what to do. And he's just like, you know what? How about we end up going to New York early? Because our trip to Vermont, we're supposed to go to New York, have a pit stop there, and then drive to Vermont after that. So he's like, how about we just go to New York early? And how about we check out Montreal, Canada? He's like, you know, it's close by. And he's like, I've never been there and you've never been there. So let's check it out. So I was like, all right, this is great timing, perfect timing, you know, with the blackout and everything. Little did I know that this was already planned. Not the blackout, but it kind of like was perfect timing with the blackout. But he was going to come up with some sort of excuse to get us to go a little bit early. And he suggested the Montreal trip for a little bit, like a little earlier. But I didn't really think that he's going to like follow through on it or anything like that. So he was just like, oh, well, that's perfect. We can go and do the Montreal trip a little early. So I'm like, okay, perfect. Fine. Yeah. And on our last night in the apartment, we have a fireplace. So he ended up using the fireplace. Thank goodness. Made the apartment a little bit warmer. It was so cute too. We're just sitting in the living room with our little fireplace. A little fire brewing. So it's very romantic, but it made the apartment a little bit warmer, which was nice. And then the next day, we basically like packed our stuff and got to New York and then stayed over in New York, pit stop New York. And then the next day drove up to Canada. So when we got to the Canadian border and we crossed the Canadian border, Nick is like, oh, okay, so before we get to Montreal, how about we go to Quebec City first? Like actually drive like longer distance, is 2 hours and a half away from here, go over there, check it out, like walk around, then we can drive back and like be at the hotel and get food and stuff in Montreal. So I was like, okay, perfect. Like, that's fine. I'd love to check out Quebec City. I didn't really think much of it. So we drove the next 2.5 hours to Quebec City. And from there, we got there. It's the cutest little town. It's like this European, French, like Christmas city. That's what it feels like. Honestly, if you would tell me that Santa Claus and the elves lived in that city, I would believe you, because it looks like the perfect Christmas town. It looks like that Christmas town that you see in like Hallmark movies. It's just so quaint and so cute and so pretty, and there's snow everywhere and it's just gorgeous. So we're walking around and on top of the hill is this huge castle, like massive castle, and it's called Chateau Frontenac. So while we're walking around the city, he's like, do you want to go up to the castle? And I was like, yeah. So I had to take a few flights of stairs all the way up there, and I was like dry heaving by the point we got up there. I was like, I need to work on my cardio. So it was a lot of stairs. I was like, wow. And I was trying not to show that I was like breathing heavy in front of Nick. And I think he was trying not to show he's breathing heavy, but that was a lot of stairs, to be honest. I feel like even if you're the most in shape, you'd probably at least be breathing a little heavy going up there. And I mean, I thought that we were pretty good in shape, but I guess not humbled me again. But anyway, we're walking around this cute area and it's just covered in snow. Honestly, it just looks like a Christmas wonderland, a winter wonderland. And the castle is massive. So we're walking around the castle and just like looking at it, walking around the town a little bit, and it starts to snow. And if you know me, you don't understand how I am obsessed with snow. It's probably because like I grew up in such a sunny state where snow doesn't exist, but I am obsessed with snow. And I was like this little girl, like, oh my God, it's snowing. Oh my God, it's snowing. Oh my God, it's snowing. Like just having like this moment where I was like, it's snowing. And I'm just like this, again, this like, 5-year-old girl just excited that it's snowing. So we're walking around. I'm like just mesmerized by the fact that it's like snowing. And Nick takes me towards this park. And he's like, oh, this is perfect. It's like if we stand there, it'd be the perfect view of taking a picture in front of the castle. So we go into this park and we're walking in and nobody's there and it's untouched snow. So I felt kind of bad going in and being like the first to touch the snow, but I was like, hee hee. So we walk into the park and completely empty. And we're going a little bit further in. Behind us is the Chateau Frontenac. So in this moment, Nick acts a little bit weird. So in my head, like I had for a split second in my head was like, oh, it's happening. But then I was like, no. I kind of like pushed that thought aside. I was like, no. We're just here. And then we're going to like go to Montreal later. So I didn't really think much of it. So he's like, oh, no, like, come over here. Stand right there. I'm going to take a picture of you in front of the chateau. So I was like, OK, perfect. So I'm doing my little poses in front of the chateau. And then he's like, OK, do your other pose where you look back at the castle. You know, a lot of us girls, we do that. We like take a like look back at it. So I'm like doing that and looking at the castle. And then when I turn around, he's on one knee with the most beautiful ring in his hand. And I'm just like speechless. Like, I didn't expect it then. Like I've been trying to figure out when it was going to happen. And in that trip, I did not expect it at all. I didn't. And he just stood there and he's like, will you marry me? And I was like, yes, of course I'll marry you, of course. And we have our little moment right there. And there's nobody around. It's just like as if we had the whole city to ourselves. I mean, obviously, there was a few people, but they were farther away. So like nobody really saw what was going on or what happened, which I prefer to have like that quiet, peaceful, private moment with him. And it was just perfect. And we have our little moment there, you know, like little kisses here and there, not too much PDA. And I'm hugging him and he puts like this, oh, it's the most gorgeous ring ever. Perfect. Well done, sir. Well done. And he puts it on my finger and I'm like sitting there. Well, I'm not sitting there. I'm standing there crying. And he starts laughing. He's like, it's so cute how you're crying and you're wiping your tears with this massive rock on your finger. And he's like taking pictures of me. And then I'm like super excited. But at the same time, when we're done, we're walking back, I like kind of like shoulder him and I'm like, you let me wear my yellow jacket for this? You couldn't have told me like to wear another jacket? Because it's one of my, it's like this yellow jacket that is very warm, very wintry, but it's very puffy and it like, it's just very warm, but puffy. It's not like aesthetically pleasing. So he's just like, because I think he was planning it for maybe dinner, but he was like, yes, but I love you for who you are, no matter what you're wearing. And I thought that was cute. I thought it was cute. But then afterwards, I was like, well, we're dressing up later for dinner and we are so taking pictures. And he's like, yes, of course, we'll do that. So I was like, okay. Oh, and I forgot to mention, Yeah, we did have like a nice dinner planned because he told me we're gonna go to Montreal and have like really go to a nice, really nice spot. So, he's like, pack a beautiful dress or something like that. So I already packed like a nice dress and like my go-to stuff, like fake nail stuff and everything. As I thought it was gonna happen, maybe potentially then. I was like, maybe. But I never thought it was gonna happen like in front of this castle. So we have our little moment and we walk back down to where the car is. And I'm like giddy, but at the same time, I feel very overwhelmed. I'm just like, oh my God, this has happened. But at the same time, I'm like thinking to myself, okay, now I get to sit in the car and drive back to Montreal and kind of like my brain can process everything that just happened. So I ask Nick and I'm like, hey, so how long does it take us to the hotel? And he's like, two and a half. So I'm like, okay, two and a half hours, not bad. That's a good time to just kind of like enjoy what just happened and kind of process through it. So we get in the car and he's driving up the hill again. And I'm just like, huh, is this the wrong direction? But again, I'm also directionally useless. So like, I don't know which was my left or right. So like, don't ask me for directions, ask the GPS. But yeah, it's like, I was like, this is weird. Why are we going up the hill? But then I was like, maybe there's an exit up from there. I don't know. I don't know my directions or where we're going. So we drive all the way up. Literally 2 minutes later, he pulls in front of the castle to the hotel. And I'm like, parks the car. And I'm just like, I thought we're going to Montreal. And he's like, no, I've made you think we're going to Montreal. This was the destination all along. And he's like, and now that we're engaged and I got to propose to you in front of a castle, you get to now stay at the castle because you're my princess. So I was like, giddy, so giddy. So, oh my God, this hotel, the Chateau Frontenac Hotel is just like incredible. So we get into the hotel and we are at the top floor in one of like the towers. And I was just, oh my God. And he had champagne with him and everything. It was just like beautifully planned. We had a dinner to go to later and we're up at this like really nice room and we had a butler on the floor. And I was like, wow, I could enjoy this type of life. So it was just so nice. It was such a beautiful room, such a beautiful view. I was like, princess in a tower. Just, I loved it. Loved every minute of it. And we ended up going to dinner after that. And that's where I dressed up really nice, very Breakfast at Tiffany's style. I mean, that's kind of like my styles, like pearls. And I just loved that, like very Blair Waldorf type of elegance. And we got ready. I put on like fake nails because I brought them, thank goodness, and got like all my pictures with the ring and my nails done and everything, and pictures with him so that I could like post that later. It's like finally some good pictures. And then we enjoyed dinner. Dinner was amazing, so nice. And they ended up getting us like this dessert, and they're like, congratulations. And I was like, oh, so how did they know? And he's like, oh, I guess word goes around. And I was like, Oh, it was just so nice. Yeah. And it was great. It was great. We ended up the next day having amazing breakfast and walking around Quebec City and doing a little bit of sledding, which was really fun. And we had to call everybody, called all family. So that was just, that was a little overwhelming, calling everybody. And yeah, it was just like all these questions bombarded, but it was still nice. It was nice, you know, telling everybody what happened. And everyone was so super happy for us and super, super excited. I was still in shock. And like, I did not know what to say. I did not know what to say because I was still like processing what just happened and everything that's going on. It's just like a whirlwind experience. And we called everybody and everyone was like, congratulations. And it was just nice. And then we ended up driving to Vermont after that and had 3 days of incredible skiing. It was so much fun. So much fun. I was sore, so sore, so sore for the rest of the week. But it was like 3 days back to back skiing in different mountains, different resorts. Nick was like trying to get me to ski in between the groves, like in between the trees. That is terrifying. Not only do I have to deal with like turning my skis and like not going too fast, but also I have to like dodge trees. Like, whew, that like I was terrified. But you know, I did a few of them decently, but still, like, it's not one of things where I was like, this is fun. I was like, I'm gonna die. There's a tree and it won't move. And it's like, well, the trees don't move, honey. You have to move away from the tree. I was like, I know that. But it was terrifying. But the rest of it was a lot of fun. The last day, like, it was supposed to rain the last day. So we were like bummed. Because we're like, oh, it's going to rain. That means the snow is going to be like nasty, muddy, and slushy. And that's not always fun. But we woke up the next morning and it snowed instead. Everything was covered in snow. And I was like, my goodness. I was so excited. I was like, oh, we have a powder day. And I never skied in powder before. So like usually it's like, you know, a few days after it snowed, but not like literally the night after. So we're up on the mountain and, you know, I thought powder was just like easy to snow in, easy to ski in. No, it's hard. It's really hard and you need a lot of muscle and strength. And this is our third day skiing. I'm tired. I was humbled really quick by the powder, but I fell so many times. But you know what? It's like softer because there's more snow. So when you fall, it doesn't really like bother you too much. But it was incredible. Such an incredible trip. We went to Stowe first. So Stowe, Vermont, I would go back. Like that was very, very cool. First time being in a gondola. That was also really cool. And then we ended up going to the Van Trapp house. Like, I guess the family from The Sound of Music, they have like this brewery and they had amazing German food, Austrian food. And was it so good? So good. And then I think the next mountain we went to was Okemo, I believe. Yeah. And we ended up going to some bar to get like wings and beer. And that's usually like Nick and I are thing during our ski trips. We like always end up getting wings and beer. I don't know why, but we ended up getting these wings that were, oh my God, I've never had something so spicy in my life. Never. And we were both sitting there laughing our ass off because we were crying. That's how spicy it was. We were both crying. We're like, I can't do this. My lips are numb. Keep drinking your beer. It was hilarious. It was really funny, but it was good. It was good. I will never get those wings again because that was painful. It was like habanero. It was like sweet habanero, something like that. So, you know, some places, you know, they say it's like sweet habanero, but it's not really like that spicy. But no, they were not kidding. It was habanero and it was spicy and we were both crying trying to eat the wings and we're like, we can't give up. We gotta do it. And then we had like three max. And then we're like, no, we can't do this anymore. But it was a lot of fun. Then we ended up going to Mount Snow, I think, after that. And that was the powder day. And then we ended our trip and went back home. And our home finally had power and heating. So I was like happy about that. But oh my goodness, was it so much fun. And then I like reached out to all my friends and I was like, I'm engaged. Just so much fun. So yeah, that was my little engagement story. So now I'm in the process of, you know, trying to figure out what we need to do and the whole planning thing. And, you know, like, I'm actually really excited because Nick is actually very involved. Him and I have already decided on like our colors. Can you imagine a guy? I would have never imagined a man being like, so what do you want our wedding colors to be? And I was like, sir, did I pluck you from a fairy tale book? Like, where did you come from? But honestly, I'm not going to complain because I deserve this man. The amount of shit I went through with people and relationships, I deserve someone that actually gives a crap. And Nick gives a crap. And I'm happy. I'm happy. And I'm not saying this like to be boastful or anything like that. Like, if you knew half of my story, you'd be like, girl, how'd you survive? I'd be like, girl, I have no idea. So I feel like it's kind of a gift that was given to me. And it's a blessing to have him because he's honestly like a protector for me. But yeah, we're going through the wedding like ideas. We don't have a date or anything like that, but we're trying to figure out the details and where and what and what's the best accommodating for friends and everything. And I could use some help and some tips. So my girlies, if you've gone through this process and you like know the secrets and the ins and outs and tips and tricks, please tell me. Please tell me. Leave me a comment. Send me a DM. I don't know. Just help me. Because I would love some insight. Also, if you're a brand out there that wants to like sponsor me, I mean, I would love to do that. I would love to collaborate. I mean, I think I thought about it and my entire TikTok platform is about friendship breakups and friendships and friendship dynamics. And I really want to like showcase a little bit more on like true friendships and what genuine friendships looks like, because I built this platform to help people heal, but it's not just healing. It's about learning to pick better friends and to make better friends. That's true healing, because that's where you know that you have like succeeded. It's not just getting over a terrible toxic friend and dealing with a friendship breakup. It's like learning the lessons of that and then finding the right people, finding your tribe. And it's possible because I did it myself. Like, everything that I'm telling you guys, yes, it's personal experience. Yes, sometimes it's like my own opinion, but you know what? I did it. I worked hard. I found my people. I've built this community so that you guys can like find your people too. And, you know, I want to spread that message as best possible. Like, I want people to know that you deserve it all. I want people to know that you can have the perfect romantic relationship. Okay, it's not perfect, but you can have the healthy romantic relationship, and you can have the healthy friends, and you can have that healthy relationship with yourself, and you can build and have a healthy relationship with a family. However, that family is like identified. Maybe it's not through blood, but maybe it's like creation of your own, or maybe it's like creation of people in it. Or maybe it is like your own blood family. I don't know, like whatever floats your boat. I think it's, you know, we're always told we can have one, but not the other. Well, who said that? Who said that? Because I want to find this person. Who said that? No, I'm here to tell you, you can have it all. If you truly work hard in every aspect, you truly work on the traumas and the triggers that are within each of those like portions of your life, and you work on bettering yourself, building yourself, and trying out new strategies and new behavior patterns, you're gonna get what you want. You just have to put the work in, and it's possible. It's possible to find the right person for you romantically. It's possible to find your girl tribe or your friendship tribe, whatever, or even like close friend. It's possible. Whatever you want in your life, you can do it. You can get it. And I'm trying to tell you guys that. And I honestly believe that mindset matters. It's everything in this world. I honestly think that the way you perceive life and how you experience it and what you are expecting out of life is kind of like what the universe gives you. I feel like the way you speak about yourself and things in your life, like if you're constantly telling yourself, oh, it's really hard to make friends, the universe is going to be like, all right, we're going to ramp it up to difficulty very, very hard, because she said that it's very hard to make friends. Therefore, we're going to make it hard for her to make friends. So I think the moment you start to change the way you say things and you approach things, the easier it's going to get. Trust me, I did this. Like, maybe it's part of manifestation, you know, like maybe it's part of saying your affirmations. I don't know, but I did it myself where I was like, you know what? No, it's easy for me to make friends, because who wouldn't want to be friends with me? I'm an amazing friend. Like, that's how I started to speak to myself. Like, and I'm not like, it's not being like too boastful or self-absorbed or anything like that. It's just having that confidence and knowing your worth and knowing that you are important and you are loved and you deserve to be loved back. You deserve to be important back. It's about telling yourself, hey, these are the things that I want in a friend, or these are the character traits, these are behaviors, and I am not going to settle for less. I'm going to get what I believe I deserve, and that's it. And, you know, it's we all say the same when it comes to romantic relationships. Like, why can't we have the same thought process when it comes to our friends? We deserve the best. We deserve the best of friends, because if you're willing to be that friend to somebody, you deserve to have a friend like that back. And speaking of mindset, that's kind of how I'm also approaching this whole wedding situation. I feel like there's a lot of horror stories of, you know, like you lose your friends with bachelorettes or with, you know, weddings in general, because it's like super stressful and like, you know, the true colors of people come out. You know what? I'm not going to stress about that. I feel like I'm getting into this in mindset of I'm going to enjoy my time and the people that are meant to enjoy it with me and are genuinely happy for me will be happy for me, and they'll showcase that. And anyone else that is going to, like, you know, start problems or cause a scene or is not genuinely happy for me, I know what I need to do, and I will immediately see them and I will remove them, even if it hurts me, even if it sucks. But I'm not going back into a place where I'm constantly tolerating behavior that is not okay. And yeah, I'm just in this mindset where it's like everything is going to fall into place and everything is going to be right. And, you know, the universe, God, whoever is watching over me is going to make sure that Nick and I are blessed and we have the right people around us and we're protected and we're loved. And that's all I want. I just want to be around people that love us and are genuinely happy for us. And those that aren't will remove themselves, like, naturally. They will excuse themselves naturally. And yeah, I know I can handle it. I know I can deal with that. I know it might be sad if it's somebody that's close to me, but I've also gone through so much shit when it comes to friends. So I am strong enough to handle anything at this point, and I'm not going to stress about it. I also know that when it comes to, like, bridal showers and bachelorettes and stuff like that, I know how stressful it is because I've been on the other side. Someone gets married and all that stuff. It's like, it's one of those things that, you know, it's their day, yes, but it's also like, it's expensive sometimes. And sometimes you're not in the greatest financial situation and all that stuff. But I think with me, I'm going to be very transparent with my friends, and I don't want them to be like spending a shit ton of money. I know it's my time and like I want to enjoy it, and I will enjoy it and I will splurge on myself because I deserve it. But I'm also going to be very mindful and accommodating to my friends because I don't want it to be something that is like going to financially burden them. Like, yeah. So I've already discussed that with Nick and just like how we're going to handle certain things. And I'm excited, and I'm hopefully none of my bridesmaids, well, actually, my bridesmaids don't know that they're my bridesmaids yet because I haven't done the whole bridesmaid proposal thing. But I do want to ask you guys if you guys know any brands that are good for that. But yeah, I'm super excited, super, super excited for this whole experience, and I'm going to drag you guys with me. You're going to be there with me, and I'm sure there's going to be moments where it's going to be difficult and there's going to be hard conversations, but you know what? I'm going to keep you posted on that, and I'm going to let you know how I handle it so that you know how you can handle difficult conversations and like how to conflict resolve appropriately. These are all skills and lessons that we need to learn. And yes, it might be hard. It might be difficult to, you know, disappoint someone or like tell them something that they don't want to hear. But it is sometimes it's necessary, especially if you're putting yourself first and you're making sure that your needs are taken care of. But other than that, you guys, if you have any questions, any comments, any concerns, reach out to me. If you want a one-on-one session, I offer that so that we can talk about how you can heal from your friendship breakups, or if you just want advice on how to handle a certain situation, I am here. Just I'm your like best friend on the side that is like not in the mix of things, so I can have like an outside opinion. But I'm here for you guys, and if you need me, let me know. Yeah, but other than that, thank you for listening, and I love you lots, and I will talk to you soon. Ta-ta.